Well, hallelujah. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah. It's so good to be with you again today. I'm excited about what's going on during this time of seeking Him. You know, to the world, it seems like almost a time of gloom and doom, you know. But because the Lord knew this was coming, He had us all prepared ahead of time, gave us the what we call the blueprint for 2020. Boy, if there was ever a perfect timing of the Lord. He gave those prophecies to us early enough where we had time to kind of digest them, teach them, understand them. And He knew the whole time that this pandemic thing was coming, that we'd have this extra time. They're calling it alone together. We've all been kind of shut up in our homes, you know. I know we're looking forward to having services at the church again. I am too. But I got to tell you, I'm having such a good time with the Lord doing these instructions. I can feel a strengthening, a deepening of my relationship with Him, my understanding. I'm trusting the anointing. I'll just be honest with you. I'm looking forward to seeing you all again. I'm looking forward to us gathering at the church and praying together and ministering. But I'll be honest with you. I don't ever want to go back to normal, whatever normal is. I want to press towards the mark. I think you're in that same boat, or you wouldn't even be at the prayer center in the first place. And I want a new normal. I want the normal of revival. I want the normal of when we preach the gospel, we do it in demonstration of the Spirit and in power, where the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, the maimed are made whole. And the blind see? And on occasion, even the dead are raised. You know, Jesus didn't raise everybody. They had funerals while He walked the earth. There were times. So anyway, I am excited about what's going on. I hope you're taking advantage of this time. What I mean is putting your time to good use and doing what the Lord instructed us to do. It's not called the blueprint for nothing. You know, I was raised in a household of construction, and my dad only had an eighth grade education, but he taught himself how to read blueprints, and he was a construction superintendent for a Manhattan Construction Company and Flint Co. for many years. And at one job that he had, he was a supervisor over 800 men. That's pretty good for a guy with an eighth grade education. But blueprints has been a part of my life. I mean, you do things by the blueprint. And, well, I remember I'd see my dad studying late in the night, those big old rolls of blueprints, and he'd be down there studying those things. We had a two-story house there during that time, and he'd go downstairs. He'd be gone for hours. Why? He's studying the blueprint. Why? Because it needed to be built according to the blueprint. Well, God he's building a revival. Can I say it that way? And He's bringing us into this revival. He's given us the blueprint. He gave us time to study it, but now it's time to build according to the blueprint. So I hope you're doing, and I have to keep, can I say, kicking my own hiney, make sure I don't get too involved in, you know, things around the house. I mean, thank God, but you know, Sue and I, we've done a little work in the backyard and, you know, rebuilding the fountain out front, a few things. But I can't get so occupied in that I didn't neglect the blueprint, because that's really what it's all about. Okay, well, enough on that. But myself, I feel myself growing. I feel the relationship that I have with the Lord growing. I feel His anointing getting stronger. I listened to my own preaching from last Sunday, and I got excited again. I'm going, glory to God. We're going to talk about that egg again a little bit today. I'm telling you, the same way that you eat a boiled egg and the egg is in your eyes and in your ears and in your hands, I mean, it's all through you. Christ in us is in our eyes and in our ears and in our hands. And when we lay hands on the sick, glory to God, they will recover. Okay, you can tell. I'm pumped up again. All right. Today's lesson, we're going to talk about the bread of life. And then you say, oh God, I've heard 1,000 messages. Well, I doubt you've heard one exactly like today's, but maybe so. In any event, we're going to talk about the bread of life. Now, this life is the same life that Paul wrote about in Romans chapter 8 when he says, it is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that has made us free from the law of sin and death. We sometimes refer to it as the new nature. We refer to Jesus when he was conceived in the womb of Mary, the life that was in him, what we would call his first nature, is the life he was conceived with from the get-go, is the life that we receive when we're born again. It's that same life. And Jesus actually prophesied about that in John chapter 8. And any of you that's followed my teachings for the last couple of years through 1 John know that this verse in John 8, verse 12, if you want to turn there, has just become so important to me. And I've seen it now through so much of the New Testament. But Jesus is prophesying, and in context, I don't want to try and go too fast, what just happened, they had brought that woman that they set a trap, and they caught her in the very act of adultery. I think it's very insightful that they did not bring the man. I mean, you can't, you know, adultery takes two people, and they're both guilty, but they only brought the woman. Tells me it was the setup, you know. But anyway, they brought this woman caught in adultery. And you know the story that they wanted Jesus to stone her, and so he bends down, he writes on the ground. We're not told exactly what he wrote, but whatever he wrote, and he said, let him that's without sin cast the first stone. Well, whatever he wrote, I have my opinion, you probably have yours. Whatever he wrote, though, it brought conviction to them, and they're thinking, I better not cast that stone. I'm not free from sin. And then the next one and the next one, and pretty soon there were none left. And he says to that woman, where are your accusers? She said, well, they're all gone. He said, well, neither do I condemn thee. I don't accuse you. And then he said to her, go and sin no more. But see, this is before the resurrection. This is before Jesus is crucified. We're still under the old covenant, if you'll allow me, even though Jesus is teaching the kingdom of God. Still, the covenant has not actually changed yet. So this is really very, very little different than the old covenant with the Jews the whole time. They're always told, go and sin no more. Don't sin. But they would go and sin. Well, what do? You bring the appropriate sacrifice. Let's say a lamb. You'd bring the lamb as the sacrifice. The lamb would die in your place, shed its blood. God would receive that as a type and a shadow of the lamb who would come later. And once you offered the sacrifice, then you were free, but still the exhortation was, go and sin no more. Well, trouble is, until they're born again, they had to go and sin again. But he's telling her the same thing, go and sin no more. And why doesn't he accuse her? He is the lamb. He knows he is the lamb that within 3 years or so, he is going to be on the cross, the Lamb of God. He is going to literally pay the price for her sin, just like he paid the price for all of us. But then he says to her, go and sin no more. But here is the big difference. Now, he's prophesying about a change of covenant. He's prophesying about a new type of person, someone that's different in their very nature, different in their very core. And it's right after that story, John chapter 8 and verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. Hang on just a minute. Would you call walking in adultery like that woman and the man? Would you call that walking in darkness? Yes. Well, so was all the other sin, everything that you can think of. Drunkenness, covetousness, greediness, everything you can think of is walking in darkness. But notice again what he says here. I am the light of the world, he that followeth me. Now, he's talking about following him all the way into the new birth. Jesus is the first born from the dead. Not the first raised from the dead, the first born from the dead. That's not the subject of today's lesson, but he is spawning an entire new species of people that have a different source of life on the inside of them. He is gathering them from the old species of Adam, who had the law of sin and death in them. But through the new birth process, that's why he's called the last Adam. He is spawning a new species of person that doesn't have the law of sin and death in them. They have the law of life on the inside of them. We're talking about life today. I'm trying to read this verse, trying to get it all the way through. But I am the light of the world. He that followeth me, and he means following him into the new birth, shall not walk in darkness. It won't be like this, having to commit adultery and whatever else. Why? They shall have the light of life. Well, that life is the same life, again, as in Romans chapter 8, for the law of this Spirit of life, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free. That's what makes you free from the law of sin and death. Now, talking about that life, back up just two chapters over to John chapter 6. And this is a very difficult passage. By the time we get through today, I think even your understanding of communion, what happens when we take communion, will mature a little bit. By the way, I recommend taking communion as often as you want. It's really good to take communion when we gather together. That's an ordinance really for the church, and this we do in remembrance of him. But some of my heroes, like Smith Wigglesworth, he made a practice of taking communion every day. He says, I want to be reminded every single day what he did for me. And that's what communion is. This do in remembrance of me. That he, when we take the bread, his body was broken for us. When we take the juice or the wine, you know, they use wine, I think, but we take juice. And it doesn't have to be, you can use a, Pastor Bronk the other day said they keep oyster crackers. That's a good thing, you know, but it's something to represent. It doesn't literally become his flesh, but it represents what he did. It puts us in remembrance. It's exactly what Jesus said. Do this in remembrance of me. You take that cracker or take off a little piece of bread. You remember that his body was broken for you. By his stripes, you were healed. It wasn't just broken on the cross. He took those stripes, and it plainly says, by his stripes we were healed. Himself bore our sicknesses and carried our pains. And then when you take the juice, so we remember the blood. This is my blood in the New Testament. We remember that blood. Well, we've known all of that for a long time. If we get that far today, there's going to be a little bit more on that I think will help you. Well, let's talk about life. He says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. Why? They're going to have the light of life. Well, that life is what we receive when we get born again. In John chapter 6, Jesus was teaching about the bread of life, that he is the bread of life. And for sake of time, we could back up quite a ways here, but let's, for today's lesson, let's start in John chapter 6, starting in verse 47. I should have told you that earlier. I'll take a sip of coffee and give you time to get there. John 6, 47. By the way, I heard a joke the other day that I know Dave would like, and it showed a coffee type mug thing that you would get from a Starbucks or a coffee shop like that. And the caption says, "Decaf only works if you throw it at somebody." Well, that'll wake them up. I think Dave would enjoy that joke. He used to always say, one of his favorite jokes was, the tree of life, coffee bean tree. Tree of the knowledge of good and evil, decaf. Okay, all right. We love our pastor. All right, John 6:47. If you haven't found it by now, just listen. It says, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. So everything hinges on what does it really mean to believe on him? See, what does that mean? You know, even the devils have knowledge that he's the Son of God. I mean, that's not enough. Those devils, I was reading, he's been having me read Mark again over and over, and those devils knew who he was. I know who you are, Son of God. And but is that saving faith? That they believe that he's the Son of God? Does the devils get saved because of that? No. Anyway, you'll know more about believing as we go through here today. He that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Not going to get it. Have it. Have it now. Okay. Now notice, I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. See, now manna was good. Manna was supernatural. Years ago, he had me do a whole teaching on the manna that went on and on. Some people were they were going like, oh God, not the manna again. But anyway, there's so many lessons in there that teach about Christ, but it really wasn't Christ yet. It was just a type and a shadow of Christ. So they did die. Verse 50, this is the bread, he himself, Jesus, this is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof. Now pay attention, that a man may eat thereof. This bread that has the life has to be eaten. You got that? That's going to be important here a little later. You have to eat this bread. You can't have it in your hand. You can't walk around with it in your pocket. It's full of life, but it has to be eaten. For you to have the life in you, you have to eat the life that's in the bread. Okay. Sounds simple. It's life-changing if you get this. Okay. Verse 51. Let's read 50 again. I'm not sure I got it all. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. Now, you know he's talking spiritual death here. This body, one day, I'm going to drop it off like an old sack. I mean, it's not me. It's my earth suit. It's what I'm using right now to live on this planet, what Christ is using in me right now on this planet. But my body is not me. It's my earth suit. One day I'm going to it's going to fall off. As Paul said, to depart and be with Christ is far better. And I'm looking forward to my new body. That's another lesson also. But I myself, he told me one time, and I love this. He said, Garrett, son, and this is after I'm born again, son, you've done all the dying you're ever going to do. When you died in Christ, that's all the dying you're ever going to do. Now, this body is going to die, and I'm going to drop it off one of these days. But Gary himself, I've already done all the dying I'm ever going to do. If you want to know the truth of it, this paltry little 120 years or so that I'm living on planet Earth is the shortest, absolute shortest time of my existence. Because I'm going to live through all eternity with him. Glory to God. About to preach myself happy already. Okay. Let's try verse 51. See if I can make it through verse 51. I am the living bread. Oh, it's a living bread. Jesus is our living bread. I'll tell you one secret from the manna. You need living bread every day. They had to have that manna fresh every day. You couldn't even store it overnight. If they tried to keep it, you know, so I'm going to stash a little away, put it under the bed. They said by the morning it bred worms and stank. Well, what's the type and shadow? You need this living bread every day. He's your life every day and every moment of the day. Okay. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Thank God for the gift of Jesus Christ. Without God sending his son, we would absolutely be hopeless, locked eternally into spiritual death with no way out. Thank God the captain of our salvation sailed into our spiritual death, suffered the penalty that we deserved. When he's getting resurrected, he said, get on the boat with me. If you want out of here, get on this boat with me. We're coming out of this spiritual death. He was the door in and he's the door out. We follow him and we get out of that spiritual death and born again into spiritual life. I know I'm preaching good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Get excited myself. All right. Verse 52. The Jews, therefore, strove among themselves saying, well, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? And that's a real good question now. It's a real good question. I mean, they were just thinking in the natural, like, is he talking cannibalism? What's he talking about here? How can he give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, boy, he's serious about this. Except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. I tried to imagine what that sounded like to Jewish ears that were raised not to even eat things strangled. They weren't allowed to eat anything that had the blood in it, you know. And normally on any kind of animal, you'd cut its throat and drain the blood before you'd ever start preparing the meal. Yet here's Jesus. No wonder this sounded so offensive to them. unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. But you got to keep it in the connection now with the bread. I am the living bread. I am the living bread. We'll keep going. It'll become more clear. Verse 54, whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me. Now notice, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me. You notice earlier he said, I am the living bread. As the living Father hath sent me. I'm going to tell you right now, this life originates with the Father. The Father is in him, and he is the living bread. That's John 17. Jesus saying, I in them, Father, and thou in me, that they may be one as we are one. Okay. As the living bread, verse 57, as the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, he's plainly telling you the life that he's living, it's the life of the Father in him. Well, listen, when you get born again, Christ is in you, but the life of the Father's in him. That's what he said in John 17. I in them, Father, thou in me. Okay. So he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. And see, this is why Jesus is called the last Adam. We are living by him now. We're not living. My flesh originated from the first man, Adam. It still has the motions of sin working in it. My flesh likes sin. It will do sinful things if I let it. I don't let it. I don't let it anymore. Used to. Didn't know who I was. I know who I am now. No, we don't do that. I keep my body under, just like Paul said, just like Jesus did. You know, if we're told in Romans 12, 1, to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, don't you know Jesus did that? He presented his body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. So it'd be, he says, I didn't come down here to do my own will. I come down here to do the will of the Father who sent me. So he presented his body to his Father. So the Father, he said, it's the Father in me. He doeth the works. He presented his body to the Father, holy and acceptable, for the Father to do whatever he wanted. Paul is saying, this is your reasonable service after everything God has done for you that he laid out in Romans 1 through 11. Is it too much to ask that now you present your body to him, holy and acceptable for him to use now? To rescue other people. You're saved. You're in. He wants to use you now to rescue other people. Get them into the kingdom. Okay. Verse 57 again. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. Jesus is your Adam now. Remember that. This is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Oh, man. Again, this little short 120 years, James said it's like a breath. It's like your life goes by. I'm 73 this year. I'm glad I don't feel as old as I look. I look at myself on these videos and I go, who is that guy? I don't feel like that at all. I feel like a... How did my 18-year-old brain get trapped in this 73-year-old body? You know, I'm a young man on the inside. I feel like I'm about 30, 33, somewhere in there. You know, my body doesn't think it, but I think it. Anyway, life. I'm going to go on forever. I'm going to live forever with him. Okay. Verse 59. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying. I mean, it is hard. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. I mean, they're going, this is hard. We were raised. We're not even allowed to eat things strangled. It's, you know, you got to drain the blood. And here this man is saying we got to eat his flesh and drink his blood. Who, they said, who can hear it? So verse 61, when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, what, does this offend you? What, and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is, oh boy, this is your verse now. If you still have a printed Bible like I'm using here, out in the margin, you need to draw a little eyeball, and under that put look and underline and whatever it takes. Don't lose this verse. Verse 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. It's the Spirit that quickeneth. Quickeneth means brings life. See, Adam was a living soul. Adam had the ability to reproduce offspring in his image. But he didn't have it. Him and Eve didn't have any offspring until after they had already fallen. Well, his image was a fallen man, and man and woman, fallen race, fallen species. So all of their offspring were produced in that same image. They could produce children, but only in their own image. They could not. Those children are all born spiritually dead, and he had no ability to quicken them from spiritual death to spiritual life. Ah, but Jesus, the last man, he is the quickening spirit. He's made a quickening spirit, not just a living soul. He has the ability to take an old dead Adamite guy, Gary Carpenter, 2000, however many thousands of years later, you know, born of Adam with a sin nature. And when I received Jesus, my Adam, he is a quickening spirit. He reproduced his life in me, and I went from spiritual death to spiritual life. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. Glory to God. The flesh profits nothing. In other words, even if we still had on planet Earth some of his flesh that we could eat, that wouldn't profit a thing. That is not even what he's talking about. Now, it'll get a little clearer in a minute. Okay, we're going to talk about this boiled egg again. Okay. If you didn't hear last Sunday, then it'll be new to you. But I'm telling you, it's profound. Yeah. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profits nothing. It wouldn't do you any good to eat his literal flesh. Okay. The words, here it is. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit. And they are life. Now, the words they are italicized both times. So let's read it the way it really says. The words that I speak unto you are spirit and are life. The words are spirit. The words are life. This is what it means to believe on him. Believe this gospel. Believe that when you receive the Son of God, he comes into you. He is like the bread. You're literally... But how do you eat that? You eat it by believing these words. You receive the words of the gospel on the inside of you. The words themselves are life. Remember in Hebrews it says, for the word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. That word quick means it's alive. The word of God, the words of Christ, the gospel is a living thing. And when you eat it, how do you eat it? You believe what he says. That's what he said. Repent and believe the gospel. Believe the words. Those words are spirit. Those words are life. And when you do that, you go from death to life. You are quickened. You become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away and all things are become new. And you're a child of the living God. Hallelujah. It's a good thing I'm sitting here. I'd be running right now. I'm telling you right now. Oh, that's good news right there, my brother and sister. That is good news. Glory to God. All right. Now, verse 64. There are some here that believe not. And okay, I'm going to stop right there. Let's talk about believing this. And I'm going to put you in remembrance of something from last week. When he was getting this across to me during these times of prayer and fellowship and I'm going to, well, let's say the times of doing the blueprint. Sue and I are still trying. I'm not saying we're 100%, but we're trying to do that blueprint. We don't think it was accident that he gave us this, knowing that this pandemic thing was coming and we'd have all of this time, extra time to spend with him. So we've been in the Word. We've been in prayer. And during this, he gave me I don't know why a boiled egg. I mean, it could have been anything. Of course, he knows I do like boiled eggs. I use them all the time in my salads. I like to make egg salad, other things. But anyway, I saw a boiled egg. And I, you know, you can hold a boiled egg in your hand. And as long as I hold it in my hand, this is the way a lot of people are with the Word of God. They, oh yeah, I've got a Word. I've got the Bible. Yeah. Yeah, I've got it. Well, where is it? Well, I keep it on my coffee table. All right. I keep it in my car. Nowadays, I go, well, I've got it on my phone. You know, I've got it in my iPad or in my laptop. Yeah, but do you eat it? do you eat it? Do you believe it? Is it part of you? Do you meditate day and night? Do you do like Pastor Dave and assimilate whole books? Is it part of you? Well, see, the Bible doesn't, holding the Bible in my hand, I could have 12 translations in the house, but as long as I just hold them in my hand, there's, even though it's full of life, there really is, it's life. His word is life. We just read it. Life is not in me. I'm just holding it in my hand. Well, he showed me the same thing with a boiled egg. Now, that boiled egg is just loaded with nutrients. I mean, it's got all kinds of good stuff in there for you. Okay? And in this little vision, I just had it there. Now, I'm holding this boiled egg, but as long as I just hold it there, I haven't really partaken yet. You could say it this way. Even though I have the egg and I are two separate things. There's the boiled egg, and there's Gary. There's Gary. There's the boiled egg. Two separate things. But what if Gary begins to eat the egg? All right, so I start bite at it. Of course, need a little salt, you know, a little pepper. mush it up, make egg salad. Oh, anyway, no, just take the boiled egg. So Gary begins eating the boiled egg. Nom, nom. Now, even as I eat it, at first, it's still, even though it goes inside of me and you can't see it anymore, at first, it's still kind of separate from me because it goes into the stomach first. So it, even though it's little pieces now, there's still the boiled egg and Gary, kind of two separate things. Now, see, here's where meditation and praying in tongues, I could just add so many things. See, all of those things, the Holy Spirit really is your spiritual digestive system. In the same way God gave us a natural digestive system, let's stay with the boiled egg for a minute. First, it goes into me, and at that moment that it's in my stomach, even though I bit it and it's in little pieces, the first 5 minutes that it's in my stomach, you'd still say, well, there's the boiled egg in Gary's stomach, and then there's Gary, two separate things. But you just give it some time, let my digestive system go to work on that boiled egg. I mean, it won't take very long either. Within an hour, I think. That digestive system, it starts breaking down that egg. It starts drawing out the vitamins and the minerals and all of the nutrients, all of those good things that are in that boiled egg. Then it gets into my bloodstream. And my bloodstream starts carrying the life, the nutrients, the vitamins, all of that good stuff. It starts going through my whole system, my whole body. I double dog dare you again after about 2 hours. How are you going to separate the boiled egg from Gary? You say, well, how would we do that? The boiled egg is the nutrients. That boiled egg is everywhere in Gary now. It's in his eyes. That boiled egg is in his ears. It's in his hands. It's in his liver. It's in his kidneys. Gary and the boiled egg have become one. There's no separating. That's exactly what Jesus is teaching here. It's not the flesh, even though he had to offer his flesh for the penalty to be paid. It is the words that are spirit. It is the gospel that he brought to us. It is the words. You have to eat the words. The words have to get on the inside of you. Your digestive system is the Holy Spirit spiritually. And as you meditate the way Dave taught us, I'm not going to try and teach that again today. Hopefully you've done your homework. Meditate it in whole images. Even better, assimilate the whole Bible. Assimilate it. Get it in you. Chew on it. Meditate on it. pray in other tongues, and he'll pray the mysteries, the understanding of all of the Word of God in his digestive system. Because who is Christ? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. A little later it says the Word became flesh. It still does. The Word becomes you. You are literally eating Christ. He says, how do you do it? My words. You have to believe on him. He says, repent and believe the gospel. Believe the gospel. Receive these words. Meditate on them. Pray in other tongues. Let the Holy Spirit digestive system make the Word and you become one. You'll see with different eyes. You'll hear with different ears. You'll think. See, that egg is in my brain. Do you understand the nutrients that are in that boiled egg? That part of it goes through my brain. Listen, you'll be renewed. You won't think like natural people anymore. You'll become a born-again person, who you really are. But you'll start thinking like a born-again person. You'll start understanding and start growing up and maturing into the fullness of the image of Christ. And that's what the Bible's really talking about. He wasn't just talking about eating his physical skin. He said the flesh profits nothing. That's not the point. In my view now, as I understand this, he was bringing it down to like Jane, see the ball. He says, don't you understand what happens when you eat anything? Don't you know you become one with what you eat? See, today we say, and it's true, you are what you eat. In other words, if I eat that boiled egg, that egg and I become one. If I eat an apple, the apple and I become one. What he's saying is if you eat his word, you and Christ become one, especially as you utilize the digestive system of the Holy Spirit. I hope that doesn't offend you when I say it that way, but to me it's just perfect because he in the same way that my natural digestive system, see, Gary, myself, I don't know much about nutrition. I know enough to take my vitamins and a few things like that, but I don't really understand minerals and what all's in an egg. My digestive system understands it perfectly. It knows exactly what to do with that boiled egg. It knows exactly how to extract every good thing in it and send it throughout my body for my benefit. The Holy Spirit understands this perfectly. He understands the Word of God. He inspired every one of these people to even write it. And he knows exactly how to digest and process it for you. Send it throughout your spiritual system. Your understanding will change. This is why Pastor Dave, I was listening to Alan's message earlier, and he said, he boiled down Pastor Dave's whole message into one sentence, but it's pretty good. If you pray in other tongues, it'll change you. Yeah, well, I'm a living witness to that too. But part of the reason why it does, he digests the Word of God for you. He understands every truth. He understands every nuance, every syllable. He understands it all. And he couples that, especially with your calling. He knows your calling, your place in the body of Christ. When you meditate on the Word of God, assimilate the Word of God, you're eating the Word of God, you can pray in other tongues and allow the Holy Spirit. He is like the digestive system. He totally understands every bit of it. He will extract that truth and get it across to you in a way that you personally understand it. And not only that, he couples that understanding with your calling in the body of Christ so that you know what to do. You understand your part. I thank God my kidneys know how to be kidneys. I thank God my lungs know how to be lungs. I thank God that my whole body, every part in it, knows what to do. Well, wouldn't it be something if the body of Christ was like that? It says we being many parts, there's many parts, but we're only one body. See? But the more I pray in other tongues and I eat the Word of God, the Holy Spirit not only teaches me truth, he specifically teaches me truth in the way that I need to apply it for my calling in the body. Well, praise God for that. I got some assignments this morning, just out praying up before dawn, praying just me and the Holy Ghost, and I got some instructions. Gary, what are they? You'll find out. I don't keep anything quiet. I just heard it this morning. Give me a little time to make sure I got it all. But it's good stuff. Well, you'll get your instructions too. So I just want to make sure we understand this. Unless we eat his flesh and drink his blood, we have no life in us. He's just talking about eating the word of God. He said, let's go back to that verse. I said, put the eyeballs out in the margin. Verse 63. So John 6, 63. It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you are spirit and are life. The words that I speak unto you. That's why he says repent and believe the gospel. That's why Paul says in the book of Romans, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe it, whether they be Jew or Greek. Isn't it right? Oh, my problem is, Brother, how did Dave do the little nasalated creature? My problem, Brother Gary. I can't. Nobody can do it like Dave. My problem, Brother Gary, I don't understand the word. Well, you know who does? The Holy Spirit. And that's why Jesus talked. He was prophesying. He was telling, I'm going to send you another comforter. His name is the Spirit of Truth. Now get this. He, not it, he shall guide you into all truth. Father, thy word is truth. Who guides you into it? Your brain? Holy Spirit. He will guide you into all truth. See, I don't understand the Bible. Welcome to the crowd. Welcome to the... Welcome. That's why God gave us more than a book. He did give us a book, but he also gave us a teacher. And his name's the Holy Spirit. And thank God he's really good at what he does. I like to say it this way now. I've been at this a long time. You know, he is way smarter than Gary is dumb. He's able to get it across to me. If I don't quit, I have to attend the classes. What does that mean? I need to pray. Gee, that sounds a whole lot like our blueprint. You ought to read that. You ought to read the blueprint. And I hope you've heard them maybe 30 times. I'm somewhere around 50, probably over 50 on it now. I didn't keep track of it after 30 times, but I listen to them pretty regularly. You know, it's a great thing to listen to again while you're praying in other tongues. And I very often still, I'll just let them play again. And if you don't have that, again, I'm going to tell you at daveroberson.org, right on the homepage, that little square up in the kind of to the right, you know, if there's a link in there that if you click on it, will take you to the PDF and the MP3 of the blueprint for 2020. And also at bronkflint.org, right on the homepage. Scroll down just a little bit, right on the homepage. They had the PDF and the MP3. They put them all together. It's wonderful, wonderful things. But we need to do it. I still remember I got that picture again of my dad late at night. Man, I mean, late at night, he'd be down there studying those blueprints. We're talking for high-rise buildings now, or detailed stuff. And he's responsible for building it according to the pattern. Well, we're responsible to build according to the pattern. Yes, sir. Got a handle stick. Talked about communion. I see this is bringing me to a whole new understanding of communion. When we take that bread, Jesus said at the Last Supper, he said, this bread, do this in remembrance of me. Now, you know, during the Inquisition, many people were burned at the stake because they would not believe the heretical doctrine. They were being taught, now, when you take that bread, it literally becomes the flesh of Jesus. And they go, no, that's not what the Bible says. That's not what Jesus said. He said, this do in remembrance of me. He didn't say it. In fact, he plainly says the flesh profits nothing anyway. It's not the flesh. It's the gospel. It's the words, okay? But did you know people were burned at the stake? And I mean hundreds of them. Because they would not agree the bread becomes the literal flesh of Jesus. And I'm here to tell you, even if it did, it would profit nothing. That's not what he was teaching. He was teaching about the life that's in the gospel, the life that's in the words. All right. But so now, though, from this point on, I've always loved communion. I've always understood it to a certain point. I'm understanding it a little better now because when I do take that bread, up until now, it's pretty much just been, I remember Jesus. I remember your body that was broken. When I take of this bread and I eat it, Lord, I remember what you did for me. By your stripes I was healed. And I might make several confessions. I also examine myself. And if the Holy Spirit brings any conviction to me, if there's anything that I need to repent of, that's a good time to repent right there. But then also with the juice, or you know, whatever you drink, it can be water. It's symbolic. We're doing this in remembrance. And so I remember the blood. Oh my goodness, I remember, Lord. Without your blood, I have no access to God. I have no way to approach God at all. Thank you for the blood. And just whatever confessions you want to make, and then you take of the blood. But see, now that I understand better John chapter 6, every time I do it, I say, Lord, I'm receiving life afresh. It is the Spirit that quickens, Lord. You are my Adam. You are my life. Lord, I'm receiving just more, measure more of your life, Lord. I thank you for your presence. I thank you for your very life coursing through me. In the same way that boiled egg, Lord, becomes one with me, the more that I assimilate and eat your word and pray in other tongues, Lord, the more your very life is one with me. I want it to become to the point where there's not Jesus' thoughts and Gary's thoughts, okay? See, Paul in Philippians, he said it this way. And Paul said even he himself had not arrived. In that same chapter later, he says, I don't count myself to have arrived. I'm still pressing toward the mark. I'm sure glad that's in there. But earlier, he says, you know, for to me, to live is Christ. Wow. Now that's a statement, see. Paul had said, I've come to the place where, as far as I'm concerned, for me to live is Christ. If you watch me today, in this physical body, Paul's saying, if you watch me in what I do, you really wouldn't see any difference if I stepped out of this body and Christ stepped into it and you watched him today, you wouldn't see any difference. Well, boy, that's the mark we're pressing toward. See, I don't want there to be always this war between the mind of Christ and the obedience of Gary. See, I love the boiled egg thing. I just keep going back to it. There is no difference between Gary and the egg. Once we become one, we're just one. Again, I'm going to use my right arm again. I hope you can see. I wore a black shirt. I hope I don't just look like a talking head with a black backdrop back here. Anyway, but you can see my right hand. See, I don't want there to be a separate mind in my right arm, where it just starts doing things. Like if you're hearing this and can't see me, I'm just letting my right arm just shoot out to the right. And I'm not, you know, it's just doing it on its own. I'm not, you know, the point I'm trying to make is, what if my right arm just started doing that and I'm not sending a signal to do it from my brain? And my right arm is just, you know, I'm just talking to you, and all the time I'm talking to you, my right arm just keeps shooting out to the right. Well, we would say there's a neurological, some kind of disorder there. There's a disconnect between the brain and the arm. The arm has got like a mind of its own, and that's not the way an arm is supposed to be. Well, I'm part of the body of Christ. I don't want Jesus to be saying something within me, but I am so focused on some other agenda of my own that I don't hear him, or worse, I do hear him and I say no. Oh my, oh, that's the mark. That is the mark. I want to eat the gospel. I want to become so one with Christ that I want to be able to say what Paul said to Gary. As far as Gary's concerned, to live is Christ. That's the mark. That's why Paul later on says, I count everything, all my pedigree, everything, I count it but rubbish. Count it as done, that I may know him, being made conformable to his death and the power of his resurrection. Boy, that's the mark, all right. And Paul, even with all of the things he accomplished, says, brethren, I don't count myself to have arrived. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind, reaching towards those that are ahead, I press I press toward the mark. Glory to God. Oh, my goodness. I feel like crying right now. I feel His presence. Oh, He did not give us that blueprint for no reason. We need to do what He's asked us to do, people. We need to do what He's asked us to do. Please. I feel like I need to beseech. I need to beg. I need to get down on one knee. This is not a time to binge watch television. I've probably done too much of that myself, but not a whole lot. I mean, not. You're still trying to press into the mark. You know, let's take full advantage, because I don't want to go back to normal. Do you? Do you want your life to go back to the way it was? I don't. I want to come out of this thing stronger, more anointed, understanding the mind of Christ better, walking in more of His mind for our life. I want the blind to see, the lame to walk, the deaf to hear, to preach this gospel in demonstration of the power and Spirit, to at least give the world a fighting chance, to at least preach it the same way Jesus did. He said, this gospel, this one, is to be preached to all the world. Well, He didn't preach the gospel without power. He said, if you don't believe the words, at least believe me for the work's sake. Well, we should be able to say the same thing, because He said, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater than these shall you do, because I go unto the Father. So we should be able to say to the world, well, if you don't believe what I'm saying, at least believe by watching these people that were blind. Now they can see in the name of Jesus. Look at these cripples that couldn't walk. They can walk now because Jesus is the healer. There's demonstration to show you it's not just words. He was so serious about that. He told them, don't you dare leave town. Don't you leave town to preach this gospel until after you've been endued with power from on high. Oh, anyway, praise God. Okay, I'm going to tease you. I got about 8 minutes left. I want to tease you with something that's really good. Go over to Acts chapter 3. Okay. Acts chapter 3 here. I do so in my Bible too. I don't really have any notes today. I hope that's okay. I hope you're being blessed. Hallelujah. Now, Acts chapter 3. Let me see if I got this right. Yes. Yes. Now, this is Peter preaching to the people, and this is really his second message after he had healed the lame man at the Gate Beautiful. Remember that? This guy who was born lame, and he's been lame his whole life, and he's begging there, and you know the story. He was trying to receive money from them. Silver and gold have I none, such as I have given unto thee. Stand up right on thy feet in the name of Jesus. And the guy was healed. And everybody knew this guy. See, I mean, it's a demonstration of power. Peter preaches to them, but he comes down to it here in verse 19, his conclusion. Repent ye, therefore, and be converted. It's be born again, that your sins may be blotted out. Now notice, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And I could go on from there. Let's just stick with that verse for today. I just want to tease you with this. We're going to teach more on this. See, if you look it up in the King James, you will not find the word revival in the New Testament. Not that way. You won't find the English word revival. But if you look up this word refreshing in Strong's, do you know what it means? Revival. And it has a picture, like it's almost like when somebody has died and you start doing cardio, when you start pumping their chest and breathing into their mouth, you revive them back again. That is this word, that refreshing, like the breath imparted fresh to you. It's life to you. Times of refreshing. Let me say it this way. You are revived. It's revival. And by the way, I said, oh gosh, I wonder how many times that word is used. Here's the word revival right here, that you be revived. I wonder how many times it's used in the New Testament. I looked it up. You know how many? Once. This is it. This is the only time in the New Testament where this word is used. And it literally means revival. That revival, well, where does it come from? Now notice, it shall come from the presence of the Lord. Well, we're going to be doing some teaching on this word presence. It is translated presence several times in the New Testament. The vast majority of the time when that Greek word is translated, it's not translated presence. It's translated face. The face. The times of refreshing. Let me ask you this. If you were dead and the Lord bent down to breathe life into you, wouldn't it come from his face? Come on. The imagery could not be more clear. You get it directly from him. It has to be from his presence, like his face. It so reminds me, and I didn't write it down, but there's that blessing from the Old Testament that the Lord would make his face to shine upon you. Oh my God, times of revival. If we spend this time with him, we will receive breath. He doesn't breathe oxygen, like Dave said. He's not dependent on his own creation. He didn't breathe oxygen into the lungs of Adam after he made that body. No, he breathed life into him. And that's exactly what's going on here. He says, repent ye and be converted, and times of revival. He will revive you. He will breathe life into you, but it has to come from his presence. I like to think from his face when I think about, oh my goodness, somebody's dead. Pump, 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 pump. Where did the breath come from? It comes from the face. It comes from the person who is reviving you. I'm so excited about these lessons on his presence. It's because if you go through those blueprint, a word, if you'll do a search in there for the word intimacy, see, intimate. He wants a relationship. Thank God for his word. He is alive, though, and his word is alive, but he's the living word. He is alive. The Father is alive. Jesus is alive, seated at the right hand of the Father. There is a presence. How does he say that again? Come away with me, my beloved, in the blueprint. Come away with me. I desire an intimacy with you that we've not walked in before. And I know that as we do that, we're not going to start having a gospel of just feelings where he's only there when you had the goosebumps, honey. He's there on your worst day. He's there on your best day. He's there. But there is such a thing as an intimate walk with him. And he promises, there's some of the things he promises, which I did that two Sundays ago about all the promises he made in that blueprint. He says, if you'll do this, I'm going to come. I'm going to come in a way you've not known me before. Boy, I could use some of that. See, and I know that when you literally get in his presence, where it's you and him, you are going to receive fresh breaths from his face. You're going to be revived from the presence, from the face of the Lord in his literal presence. And I've got to close. My time is up. Let me pray with you. Father, I just thank you for your word. It's so full of life. It's full of wonder, Lord. It's just amazing because you are amazing. And Lord, as I think about what you've said about your word, Lord, that like the rain comes down and waters the earth and it produces every time, Lord, your word is like that. It does not return unto you void, but it prospers in the thing where you sent it. It accomplishes the purpose. Father, I thank you for your written word, and I thank you for your living word, and I thank you, Lord, that we are eating the words of Christ. We are literally becoming one with Christ in a way that we never were before. And Father, I want to thank you for this blueprint. Thank you for the instructions. Thank you for preparing us ahead of time. Father, we thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. in the name of Jesus. And everybody can say, amen. Well, if you can't tell, it's been my pleasure. I love this. I love it. I love it. And we'll be seeing you soon, hopefully back in the church for long. But I don't want to go back to normal. Let's none of us go back to normal. There is no, let's make a new normal. In Jesus' name, amen. See you next time.